إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah, the creed compiled by Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we had point number 83. وَالْحَوْضُ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ غِيَاثًا لِأُمَّتِهِ حَقٍّ And the hawd, the lake, with which Allah the Most High will honor him. He will honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a relief from thirst for his ummah. This is something true. And who can remember the language meaning of the word hawd? Al-hawd. Majma' al-ma', the place where water gathers together. In a pond or a pool or a reservoir, a place where water is gathered together. Who can remember where this hawd, the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it will be? Where will it be? Where and when will it be? As for when it will be, then we know it exists and it will exist, but as for where, then where will it be? Yeah, on the Day of Judgment, in which place? In Al-Mahshar, in the gathering place, the place where the people are gathered, before they cross over the bridge over the hellfire. Then the Shaykh in the explanation, he mentioned a great point of benefit for the hawd, for where it is, and for the... He mentioned a great point of benefit. Who can remember the great point of benefit of the hawd? With regard to the time and the place where it is. Yeah. It's a time and a place where people will be suffering from the extreme heat of the day of resurrection. So they'll be extremely thirsty and there'll be a need of drink. So that is a great point of benefit of the hawd. Who can remember some of the attributes of the hawd? For example, the colour of its water. Who can remember the colour of its water from the authentic narrations? Yeah. That it's whiter than milk. And the taste? You ever tasted musk? Yeah, sweeter than honey. Yeah, your second answer. Sweeter than honey. No. And the smell? Yeah. The smell is better than musk. Yeah. The number of the drinking vessels then, around the hold. Yeah. As many as the stars in the sky. And the size of the hawd. I can remember the size of the hawd. Yeah. The length of a month's journey and the width of a month's journey. Whom in the explanation did Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned will be the people who will drink from the hawd? The believers, people of Tawheed, those who were followers of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also had a point from which the question comes: what is the connection between the hawd and between Al-Kawthar? What's the connection between the Hawd and Al-Kawthar, mentioned in Surah Al-Kawthar? Inna a'tainaka Al-Kawthar. What's the connection between the two? That no doubt that water will flow from Al-Kawthar, the great river in paradise. Water will flow down from that through two pipes. In accordance with the authentic narration in Sahih Muslim, there'll be two pipes or two waterways flowing from that, one made of gold and one made of silver, and the water from it will flow down into the Hawd. We had two different sayings with regard to the meaning of Al-Kawthar. Who can remember the two sayings about what Al-Kawthar is? Two sayings from the Salaf with regard to the meaning of Al-Kawthar. Two people answering questions. Well, plus. Inshallah. Yeah, that's the first half of the question is that some people say that Al-Hawd is the same as Al-Kawthar. Another saying? Yeah, Al-Kawthar means abundant good. And the harmonization between these two is what? That really there's no contradiction between the two, and the way to harmonize the two sayings is? Salaam wa rahmatullah. Yeah. Yeah. As we already heard, that there's a connection between the two, that the water of Al-Kawthar, it flows into the Hawd. So they're connected, the water of the Al-Kawthar flows into the Hawd. And those who say that the meaning of Al-Kawthar is the river in paradise, they don't deny that it also means the prophets. They don't say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will only receive a river in paradise and that's it. No, they say plus abundant good, in accordance with the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, that he mentioned that Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise. Upon it, there will be abundant good. And likewise, those who say Kawthar means abundant good, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be granted abundant good, which will include that river in paradise. So there's no contradiction between the two sayings. Then with regard to this week, and we'll take the first part of point number 84, inshallah, which is Allahu a'lam. Then the brother's just pointing out, if we turn it into homework, the evidence for the Hawd, the water of the Hawd being sweeter than honey. He said the narration we've got here in the book in the footnote, it mentions the water of the Hawd being whiter than milk and smelling sweeter than musk, but it doesn't mention about it being sweeter than honey. So what's the evidence for that? Then that's your homework for next time, inshallah. Particularly the question. There. What is the evidence for that? Then to continue with point number 84, then Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues, والشفاعة التي ادخرها لهم حق كما روي في الأخبار. And the shafa'a, the intercession, which he has stored up for them, is something true, just as is reported in the narrations. And the intercession, ash-shafa'ah, which he has stored up for them, is something true, just as occurs in the narrations. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation of this, so this point with regard to ash-shafa'ah, the intercession, he said, ash-shafa'ah, the intercession, is also from the important matters of aqeedah. And in a footnote they mention an evidence for that. They say, as is indicated in the hadith of shafa'ah, the long hadith which is known with the title of the hadith of the shafa'ah, the hadith of intercession, reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 3340, Hadith 4712 and Hadith 7510, and also by Muslim, and it's a long hadith mentioning on the day of resurrection that when the people will be suffering from the length of the waiting, that then they will go to the different prophets, to the Ulul Azam from the prophets, they'll go to Adam alayhi salam as well, and then to Nuh and to Musa and Isa, asking each of them to intercede with Allah for the judgment to begin. And finally, it will be said to them, as occurs here, go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, so they will come to me and I will prostrate beneath the throne. And it will be said, O Muhammad, raise your head and intercede, washfa' to shaffa'. Intercede, your intercession will be accepted. And ask, and you will be given. So this long hadith of the intercession is a proof for this point here. Ash-shafa'a, the intercession on the day of resurrection. So then back to Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah's explanation. He said, so ash-shafa'a, the intercession, is also from the important matters of aqeedah, of creed and belief. Because people have gone astray with regard to affirming it. Some people went beyond the due limits in affirming it, and others took a middle way. Then he mentions how the people have differed with regard to this matter of the intercession, ash-shafa'ah. He said, so with regard to the intercession on the day of resurrection, then the people have become divided about it into three categories. And he goes through each category of the people. Firstly, he said, a people who went beyond the limits in affirming it to such an extent that they seek it, I mean they seek intercession, they seek it from the dead and from the graves and from the idols and from the trees and from the stones. And he quoted two ayahs. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 18. With the explanation, and they worship besides Allah that which cannot harm them and cannot benefit them. And they say, these are our intercessors with Allah. I mean, they say about that which they worship besides Allah, these things are our intercessors with Allah. And he quotes another, that's Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 18. And he quotes a second ayah, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 3, with the explanation that the people of shirk, those who worship other things besides Allah, they say, we do not worship them except so that they should draw us closer in nearness to Allah. So two ayahs with regard to those people who take intermediaries besides Allah and worship them, seeking nearness to Allah. So that's the category of those who go beyond the limits with regard to intercession. And those who seek it, as he said, those who seek it from the dead and seek it from the graves, seek it from idols and trees and stones. Then he mentions the second group. And a group who go beyond bounds in denying intercession, such as the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. So they denied that there will be any intercession regarding Ahlul Kaba'ir. They denied that there will be any intercession concerning the people who commit major sins. I mean, those people from this ummah who die upon major sin. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij say there'll be no intercession for those people. Then the Sheikh said, and they, mean these people, the Mu'tazila, the Khawarij and their like, they contradict the proofs from the book and the sunnah which are mutawatir, reported by huge numbers of narrators at each level of narration, affirming the intercession, affirming ash-shafa'ah. So that's the second group, opposite to the first. The first who go to extremes in affirming and seeking intercession from those who cannot benefit or harm. And the second group now, the other extreme, those who deny it from its due place. And he said, mentioning the third group, whereas the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, they took a middle path. So they affirm the Shafa'ah, they affirm the intercession in the manner mentioned by Allah and His Messenger. And they truly believed in it without ifrat and without tafarit, without exceeding the limits and without falling short of what is required. So here he makes clear that there are three separate groups of people with regard to the intercession. Then he goes on to define the meaning of ash-shafa'a, intercession, firstly in the language and then in the religion. So he said, and ash-shafa'a, intercession, in the language, is derived from ash-shafa'a, that which is even. It's derived from ash-shafa'a. Ash-shafa'a is derived from ash-shafa'a, that which is even. He said, meaning the opposite of odd, al-witr. Because the word al-witr, it means a solitary person, that which is single, a single person. Whereas ash-shafa'a, that which is even, that means more than one, be it two or four or six. It is what is called the even numbers. I mean, the term ash-shafa'a refers to even numbers, two and four and six and so on. And then, as a side point, some of the explainers mentioned that that's why the way it's derived in the Arabic language is that when somebody has a need, he has a need, the person who intercedes to help him, it's as if he makes himself two by going and joining him in his request and going and interceding with the person who can fulfill that request. So initially there's just the one person who wants the thing. There's the person somewhere who's got what he needs. Now you don't leave him on his own. You go and help him. You make the one person, you make him into two. And you go and ask the one who can fulfill what he wants. So you've made him even now. He's one person, now you've made him even. Shafa'a. So that's why it's called Ash-Shafa'a. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, wa shar'an, and in the legislation, it means acting as an intermediary to carry out needs. That an intermediary means somebody in between, a middleman. An intermediary comes in between the person who has a need and the one who possesses what he wants. In other words, as is pretty clear, you've got the first person, he's got some need. You've got the second one, he's got whatever the person needs and requires. And then the third one is the one who comes and acts as an intermediary, puts himself in the middle and goes to that second one and asks on behalf of the first one. So this is what it means. He said, in the legislation, it means acting as an intermediary to carry out some needs. Being an intermediary in between the one who has the need and the one who possesses what he wants. Then the Sheikh makes the point, a very important point, and it is of two categories. Shafa'a, shafa'atun inda Allah, and shafa'atun inda al-khalq. The first is interceding with Allah. And the second is interceding with the creation. And it's very important that the Sheikh makes a number of categories here and distinctions. It's very important we keep these in our mind and have them clear in our mind and remember them. Because the people of Shirk, they try and mix it all together and try and confuse people by mixing all together. So the Sheikh lays it down carefully in different categories. He said, as for intercession, then it's two categories. Intercession with Allah and intercession with the creation. Then he said, then as for intercession with the creation, then that is of two categories. Maybe it would be nice if somebody put this in the little chart when it's all, when we've gone through it, inshallah. But anyway, he said, as for intercession with the creation, then that is of two categories. Shafa'atun hasana, a good intercession. I mean that a person intercedes with somebody else from the creation on behalf of somebody from the creation. The first category of this is a good intercession, which is when it is done with regard to affairs that are good, beneficial, and permissible. That you mediate with someone who possesses the needs required by the people in order that he should carry out those needs for them. And that's what it means, intercession with the creation, that's what it means. If you're doing it, you go to somebody who's got the needs, that things that people need, requirements they want to carry out, you go to him to get him to give those needs to the people. That's the intercession with regard to the people. And for it to be a good intercession, he said, it should be with regard to affairs that are good, beneficial, and permissible. And then he gives an evidence for that. He said, he, the one free of all imperfections, said, مَنْ يَشْفَعَ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا Surah An-Nisa', the fourth surah, ayah 85. With the explanation, whoever intercedes for a good cause will receive a share of the reward for it. So this ayah is with regard to intercession between the creation for good things. Then he gives an evidence from the hadith. He said, and he, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, Ishfa'u tu'jaru ويقضي الله على لسان رسوله ما شاء. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, intercede and you will receive reward, and Allah will bring about whatever He wills upon the tongue of His Messenger. This hadith being reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 1432 and reported by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu. And the full wording of Al-Bukhari, it begins that the companion, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when a beggar used to come to him, or someone having a need, or someone who had a need, this was transmitted to him, he used to say this, Ishfa'u tu'jaru, intercede, and you will receive reward. He asked the companions to intercede on behalf of that person, what they knew about him, say something on his behalf to help him in this request. So that's an ayah and a hadith proving this good intercession. I mean, intercession of the creation with the creation with regard to good matters. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, so this is shafa'atun hasana. This is good intercession, and there is reward for it, because it involves bringing about benefit for the Muslims in their needs being carried out and in their attaining that which they seek, which is beneficial for them. And as long as it does not involve transgression or wrongdoing against anyone. As long as that's the case, this will be a good intercession. You don't intercede on somebody's behalf. You try and get something done for him, which is something evil, or it's something oppressing somebody else. That will not be good intercession. That would fall in the second category, which the Sheikh brings now. He said, and the second category, of intercession amongst the creation. He said, the second category is shafa'atun sayyi'ah, evil intercession, which means interceding for affairs which are forbidden, such as interceding so that prescribed punishments which have become binding should be dropped. Obviously meaning, indicating there that somebody stole, for example, they stole an amount. They were caught, they were found guilty, and then the prescribed punishment was laid upon them that their hand was going to be chopped. So then somebody comes to intercede, they go to the person in charge of the case, the judge or the like, and they say they know him, so they say, don't apply this punishment on the person. I know you, and this person's not really so bad. And they're trying to intercede, they try and get that punishment stopped. This is the second category. This is an intercession, which is an evil intercession. Then the Sheikh said, and the like of this enters into those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed in his saying, La'ana Allahu man awa muhdithan. That Allah has cursed whoever gives shelter to a person of transgression. In a footnote they mention, this is from a hadith of Ali radiallahu an, who said, we do not possess anything with us except for the book of Allah and this scroll from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When somebody came and asked Ali radiallahu an, do you people, you ahl, people of the household, do you have any special knowledge with you? So he replied, we do not have anything with us except the book of Allah and this scroll from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, containing the wording that he said, Al-Madinah is a sacred area between A'ir and such, whoever introduces transgression within it, then upon him is the curse of Allah and the angels and all of mankind. No obligatory deed and no optional deed will be accepted from him. Reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 18, as hadith 1870, and by Muslim. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan is using this hadith as an evidence, he said, for this second type of interceding about evil intercession, interceding with regard to forbidden affairs. So the like of these people are those who are cursed by Allah. Then he said, and likewise interceding with regard to seizing the property of other people without right and giving it to those who do not deserve it. Allah the Most High said, وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 85. The completion of the ayah which we had just before. The first part of the ayah mentions intercession in a good cause, and this last part of the ayah mentions intercession, or this part here of the ayah mentions intercession in an evil cause, with the explanation, and whoever intercedes for an evil cause, then he will have a share of sin for that. He will have a share of the sin of it. So that's the first type of intercession. Intercession between the creation. There's somebody from the creation needs something. Somebody else from the creation's got that thing. Somebody else from the creation, the third one, he comes in between. He goes on behalf of the first one to the second one and tries to get it done for him. And then, as we just saw, it falls into one of two categories. Either it's something good you're trying to get done for him, or it's something evil and forbidden. Then he said, moving on to the overall second category, he said, as for intercession with Allah, interceding with Allah, ash-shafa'atu 'inda Allah, then that is not like interceding with the creation. I mean, the intercession with Allah is not the same as intercession amongst the creation. Not the same thing. Of course, as we had the point before, it's not correct, it's not permissible to draw analogies between the creator and the creation. Nobody has the right to come along and say, look, amongst the creation, this is what happens. Somebody needs something, somebody else, he wants it from somebody else, so I've got the right to go in between and therefore, by analogy on that, the same thing can happen with regard to Allah. Then this is not permissible for anyone to do analogy between the creation and the creator. The creator is not like the creation. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan said here, as for the intercession with Allah, then it is not like interceding with the creation. For intercession with the creator, that means that Allah honors some of his servants by granting them that they may supplicate for some of the Muslims who deserve punishment because they have committed major sins. So the person intercedes with Allah, that he should pardon those people and not punish them, because that person was a believer upon Tawheed. So therefore, the one interceding, he intercedes with Allah, the Majestic and Most High, that he should pardon that person. Or, he mentions another case when it can apply, or regarding someone who has entered the hellfire because of sins. So the one who's interceding, he intercedes with Allah for that person to be taken out and for the punishment to be removed from him. And this is called ash-shafa'a fi ahli al-kaba'ir. This is called the intercession regarding the people who committed the major sins. So this is what it means, shafa'a with Allah. It's this category here. Just repeat what he said quickly. It is that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, honors some of his servants by granting them that they can make supplication for some of the Muslims who are deserving of punishment because of major sins which they committed. He grants them the honor that they can intercede with him for him to pardon that person and not punish him. Why? Because that person, the guilty one, because he was a believer upon Tawheed, upon the worship of Allah alone. So upon that basis, the one who intercedes with Allah, the Majestic and Most High, that he should pardon that person. Or, a second case, or with regard to someone who has actually entered the hellfire because of sins. So this person, whom Allah honors, he intercedes with Allah that person should leave the hellfire and that the punishment should be removed from him. And this category here is called intercession with regard to the people, Ahlul Kabair, the people who committed major sins. So having clarified what it means, what interceding with Allah means, then the Shaykh makes he mentions the two important conditions for it. He said, however, interceding with Allah has two conditions. Ash-shartu al-awwal, the first condition is that it is done only with the permission of Allah. An takuna bi-idhnillah. That it can only be done with the permission of Allah. So no one can intercede with Allah except with his permission. So he is the one who permits the person who intercedes to intercede. And as for before he has granted permission, then no one can precede Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 255, a part of Ayat al-Kursi, with the explanation, who is there that can intercede with him? I mean, there's none that can intercede with him except with his permission. And the Shaykh said, and he is not like the created beings whom people come to in order to intercede with them, even if they do not give permission for it. In this world, somebody in authority, some ruler or something, that you go to intercede on behalf of someone, you go and you go to his door and you go up to him and ask him, without him giving permission for that, you can go and see. But with regard to Allah, no one can intercede with him until he is given permission for it. And he said, So Allah, the Majestic and Most High, no one can intercede with him except with his permission. That's the first condition, that Allah grants permission for that. Secondly, the second condition, that the person you are interceding for is one of the people of Tawheed. He is a person who worships Allah alone. And he is from the people of Iman. He is a true believer. He is a mu'min. From those whom Allah is pleased with, being pleased with their sayings and their actions. Then he gives evidence. وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى. Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, Ayah 28, with the explanation, and they cannot intercede except on behalf of those He, Allah, is pleased with. They cannot intercede except for those He is pleased with. The Shaykh said, meaning that Allah is pleased with that person's sayings and actions. Then the Sheikh said, and these two conditions occur together. The two conditions for intercession with Allah, that Allah permits it, and secondly, that the one you're interceding for, he is from a person of Tawheed, from a person of Iman. Allah is pleased with his sayings and actions. These two conditions occur in the saying of Allah the Most High, إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ أَن يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. Surah An-Najm, the 53rd surah, ayah 26. With the explanation, there can be no intercession except after Allah has granted permission for whomever he wishes and is pleased with. The Sheikh said, so, أَن يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ, this is the first condition, إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ أَن يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ, except after Allah has granted permission, that's the first condition. وَيَرْضَى, and someone he is pleased with, that's the second condition. So if someone asks you, what's the evidence for these two conditions? You can say, 26th ayah of Surah An-Najm. That mentions both conditions for intercession to be intercession with Allah. Then the Shaykh said, and as for an unbeliever, a kafir, he will not be benefited by any intercession. فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. Surah Al-Muddathir, the 74th surah, ayah 48, with the explanation, then they will not, mean the unbelievers, they will not be benefited by the intercession of those who intercede. And he mentions another ayah, مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيءٍ يُطَاعَ. Surah Ghafir, the 40th surah, ayah 18, with the explanation, for the wrongdoers, mean the wrongdoers from the unbelievers, there will be no devoted friends, nor anyone to intercede for them who will be obeyed. The Shaykh said, so the intercession mentioned in the Quran is of two types. Intercession which is negated or denied. And that is intercession which has its conditions absent. I mean, one or both of the conditions are absent. That's intercession which is denied in the Qur'an. And intercession which is affirmed, which is the intercession which fulfills its conditions. So as for the unbeliever, then he will not be benefited by intercession, even if all the inhabitants of the heavens and of the earth were to intercede for him, for an unbeliever. Allah would still not accept their intercession, because this person is a mushrik, one who worships others besides Allah. He is an unbeliever, a kafir, an unbeliever in Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Allah is not pleased with him in his sayings and his actions. Then the Shaykh mentions the one exception, the one single exception to this, the one partial exception. He said, except for what occurs with regard to the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to his uncle Abu Talib, for this is a special and particular intercession. And also, it is not an intercession for him to come out from the hellfire, but rather an intercession for the punishment to be reduced upon this man because of the assistance he gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of his sheltering him and defending him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for the punishment to be reduced for him only. And this is an exception, one exception. This point that the intercession will not benefit the unbelievers, there's one limited exception, one partial exception, which is this one, that we know from the authentic narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for his uncle Abu Talib. Alhamdulillah. That Allah should reduce his punishment, because all the aid which he gave to the Prophet ﷺ in this world, that Allah should reduce his punishment. So that then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he will be in a shallow part of the fire. The fire will only be up to his ankles, and even that level of the fire, it will cause his brain to boil. He'll be in the fire. He won't be able to come out of it, but he will just be up to his, into his ankles. And it will be so hot, his entire body will be boiling, and his brain will boil away. So then the Sheikh finished by saying, so these are, this is the confirmed intercession with its conditions. And it is of different types. And that's where the chapter continues now. As for the intercession, which is correct, intercession with Allah, which is correct, then it is of different types. And then that's the rest of the chapter where he goes on. And just quickly, as a final point, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, made the point, the same as he said last week about the ahadith about the hawd, that they are mutawatir, then likewise he said this week. The Shaykh said, about the ahadith about the shafa'ah, the intercession, that the ahadith about that are mutawatir also. They're reported by a huge number of people at every chain of narration, from the companions, the next generation, a huge number of people report it at every level. And he said, and Ibn Abi Asim, in his book As-Sunnah, he brings six chapters about this, chapters 163 to 168. And he brings the ahadith in that regard, numbering hadith number 784 all the way through to hadith number 832. Around 48 or 49 hadith. And the explainer, meaning Ibn Abil Izz, rahimahullah, in his explanation, he mentions a good number of them. And they include the fact that the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of eight different types. So whoever wishes can refer back to that, meaning to the explanation of Ibn Abil Izz. And we'll have the different types of intercession next time, inshallah. Any points of clarification? Yeah, with regard to the hadith, because just a part of the hadith was mentioned, al-madinatu haramun ma bayna a'irin ila kadha. That Medina is a haram, is a sacred place, and the hadith continues, it's trees and plants should not be uprooted. And another narration mentions, just as Allah made Mecca a sacred area for Ibrahim, then Medina is a sacred area, that Allah made Medina a sacred area for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentioned the limits of it in different hadith. He mentioned the limits of it from Jabal Ir, a mountain to the south of Medina, all the way up to Jabal Uhud in the north. That between those two, and also the hadith, Ma Bayna Labatayha, that between the two lava plains as well, on each side, the west and the east, there are two black lava plains, volcanic plains. So between these four things, that area in between is the sacred area of Medina. That with regard to the part of the hadith that Allah has cursed whoever, there's different wordings of it. In one wording, man ahdatha fiha hadathan, that whoever transgresses, commits evil transgression or dhulm, as Ibn Hajar and Al-Qadhi Iyad mentioned, meaning dhulm. Whoever introduces dhulm in that area, oppression, transgression basically, whoever transgresses there, or it can mean innovating, committing innovations, or sheltering a person like that as well, not whoever does it, or whoever shelters a person like that within Medina, then Allah's curse is upon him. Wallahu a'lam. فَهُوَ فِي دِحْدَاحْ مِنَ النَّارِ. He'll be in a shallow, the hadith mentions, he'll be in a shallow part of the fire. And in another narration, the fire will be up to his ankles. And from that, his brains will boil. That's all I recall. Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.